The recorder is on, and now let me get NTI opened up. Let's see. All right, and so it looks like we are on page 129. I'm just going to pull a little more forward. We have fewer people this time, and I feel separate from you guys. So I'll get a little closer. And on page, you have a book. Okay, good. On page 129, we're starting at verses 21 to 38. And this is the reinterpretation of Jesus' baptism. You guys all know that story? About John the Baptist baptizing Jesus and the dove coming down saying, this is my son whom I love, in him I am well pleased. Right? You know that story? Okay, so this is the reinterpretation of that. The most helpful way for you to view yourself is not to view yourself as special. The ego wants to see itself as special. Special is separate. So to surrender to the ego's desire is to continue to see yourself as separate from God. This is not helpful. Now, what's interesting is, you know, most of us, if not all of us, I don't know about Roger, are core students. Do you study A Course in Miracles?
I have.
You have. So we're familiar with the whole specialness thing because it's a pretty heavy topic in the course. But what's interesting about NTI is instead of talking about specialness as compared to my brother, it talks about specialness as compared to Jesus. Because many of us will let go of the idea that I am more special than my brother or my brother is more special than me. We're a little more willing to accept a state of equality there. But somehow in our minds we still hold like Jesus ahead of us, right? And so so NTI goes right after that relationship, you know, directly, because even that relationship is a true equal relationship. And as long as we still see specialness there, we're actually still seeing specialness. So if you look at the next paragraph, it says, do not look at Jesus' baptism and see him as special in comparison to you or others. Look at his baptism and realize Jesus was baptized with others and the same as others, in the same water, and by the same one. For Jesus was baptized as one Son of God. It was of this one Son that it was spoken, you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. And then I love this next paragraph. These are the words spoken of you. Read these words. Listen to them. Take them into your heart. Accept them as true of you as they were true of Jesus, for there is no difference of any kind. Rejoice that you are not special and that Jesus was not special. For it is all the same. You are he, and he is you. You are the one Son of God. This is your truth. You are the Son of God, just as Jesus was. There is no difference among you. So when I first received this as the scribe, this is one of the parts I had a lot of trouble writing down, because I didn't feel that sense of equality. So it felt sinful just writing these words down, blasphemous, as they would say. But I, you know, gave my willingness, you know, like you do if you want to awaken. I gave my willingness. For me, the absolute equality actually has happened. And the funny thing is it happened for me in Israel. I was in Israel in September of 2010 on the Mount of Beatitudes, or at least what they believe was the Mount of Beatitudes. If it wasn't, then a similar place was, right? So it was in the right area. And I was on the Mount of Beatitudes with about 14 or 15 of my friends, and they asked me to teach from NTI. So I started teaching from NTI, and of course the teaching felt very inspired, like they all do. In that way, it was no different than any of them. What was different, I think, is where I was. And somehow when I was sitting there teaching, it just hit me that I was doing the exact same thing that Jesus did, that the inspiration that was coming through me was the exact same inspiration that came through him, and that there was literally no difference. And so for me, what I call absolute equality, like it snapped into place in that moment, where now I really understand, not intellectually, but with the heart, I really understand that there's no one special, no one different. But of course, like I said, when I wrote this, I didn't get that yet. You know, I willingly wrote it down, but I still saw Jesus as very special and very different from me. But the point here is that there is no specialness at all. You know, we're all the same as Jesus, or, you know, if there's someone else that you admire, if it would be the one that we call Buddha or the one that we call Ramana or Muhammad or, you know, anybody, you know, pick your idol. you're the same, right? You're the same. So you can either, you know, people often talk about taking people down on their off their pedestals. So you could do that, or you could just rise everybody up on the same pedestal, yeah. Right? Yeah, everybody's special. Yeah, just put everybody up on that same. And that's kind of what it's saying here. If you look at, you are my son, whom I love, with you I am well pleased. That's putting everybody on the pedestal. Right? It's nice, isn't it? So let's look at chapter 4. Chapter 4 for me is where NTI really gets cooking. So we skipped Matthew and Mark because they're kind of a soft start. Even Luke chapters 1, 2, and 3 are a little on the soft start side. And chapter 4 is where, you know, wheels hit the ground and we start going. So it gets kind of fun from here on out. Within your mind, there are confusing thoughts that tell you that you are what you are not. These thoughts are sly and deceitful. And you have listened to them and believed them. You listen to them and believe them to this day, so that they confuse you, even to the point of confusing you regarding your identity. But we are going to undo their confusion, for there is also a voice within you that is not confused. It is this voice you are beginning to hear and to trust. It is quiet, barely audible to you at all, and yet you feel this voice within you, and you recognize it as true. Together, we will follow this voice into the desert, where the false voice may be exposed as false, and the true voice may be known as true. There will be great rejoicing at this unmasking. For this will be the realization of self, which is eternal and eternally true. So that little part right there is an interpretation of Jesus's 40 days in the desert, when, you know, according to the Bible, he was greeted by Satan, and Satan tried to deceive him, right? And he recognized the deceit and didn't fall for it. And so this is saying that we are going to come to recognize the ego voice within us in the same way. The trick is, of course, and I think that most of you all probably know this, the trick is that the ego voice is actually the voice that we listen to and call my voice, me, right? So that makes it a little harder because of that identity that we have with it. You know, we really do believe it's just my own thoughts. So it would almost be more helpful if we thought it was Satan. You know, because we could at least say it was another. It would be one away from us. But it's not, unfortunately. It feels like us. So that's why he calls it sly and deceitful. But he's promising, actually. He's promising that if we listen to this voice that's in NTI, which is also within each of us, that it is going to guide us so that we begin to really recognize this voice. And even though it's talking like us, we'll realize that it's not us. It's this sly and deceitful voice that is leading us to believe that we are what we are not, and we will start learning to just disregard it. You know, just not pay attention to it. So verses 14 to 30. This is a course of looking within yourself, for in truth, there is nowhere else to look. As we follow this course together, you will be tempted to look away from yourself and look at someone else. But if you remember that you cannot see anyone else except through yourself, you will remember once again where to focus your attention. So right off the bat, he's telling us about really a primary error that we make as we go reading NTI. If it says, let me see what's something it says. I don't know. I can't even think of anything. I'll use the course because an example from the course is coming. Let's say it says, do not correct your brothers. You know, so we read, do not correct your brothers. And let's say I hang out with Roger all the time and I catch Roger correcting Susie. And I'm like, Roger, you're not supposed to be correcting your brothers. What did I just do? I just corrected Roger. And see, this is how we miss our own mistakes. By being our brother's gatekeeper, we don't even notice that we're doing the same thing. Right? We totally miss ourselves. So one of the first things that NTI is asking us is not to be our brother's gatekeeper. Just don't. And the main reason is because you're going to totally miss yourself. You know, it's just another trick. So if Roger wants to correct Susie, Roger corrects Susie. I don't correct Roger. You see, my job is to watch myself. And maybe you know, if not, you'll discover that's actually kind of hard to do. Because the ego is constantly trying to get us to monitor our brother's progress. How well is my brother doing this? Right?
What's that?
Well, let's say Susie was sitting there saying, ah, shit, I screwed up again. I'm always screwing up, you know, and Roger's like, Susie, you're just listening to your ego voice now. And I'm like, Roger, you're just correcting Susie now. You know? And then Susie can say, well, Regina, you just corrected Roger. We're all going in a circle here. And none of us are realizing that we're all listening to our own egos right now. We're all missing ourself.
That's big in the Course in Miracles.
It's huge.
Correcting everybody.
Well, it's interesting that NTI should put it like right up front. Because again, it's one of the primary ways we don't pay attention to our own ego. And you know, one of my favorite lines from the Course is, a miracle worker's only responsibility is to accept the atonement for himself. Right? And it doesn't say it's not my responsibility to correct Roger. And in fact, I'm accepting the atonement for myself much better if I'm just letting Roger be Roger, you know, regardless of what he does. So. So for me, the default position is I don't correct others. Now, the reason I say the default position is I think all absolutes are also a mistake. Because if you have an absolute, you may be receiving a sincere prompt to correct, which is actually silently coming from your brother. And you'll miss it if you have this rule. So I don't believe in rules. I believe in defaults. Like my default position is, unless I have a clear prompt to correct, I don't. You know? And then the times that I have had a clear prompt to correct, they've always been greeted with joy. Because the truth was there was something in that person that they wanted to see this, and you know, the prompt was a sincere prompt coming from spirit. But the default position is I don't correct. It doesn't even matter what you're saying, what you're doing. I just sit back and I let you say it and do it. Yeah, so.
How does that work, like when you were counseling people? Because when you're counseling, are you kind of showing them where they might not be doing something right?
Yeah, when I was counseling, that was slightly different because I had their permission. They were calling, asking me to look at their minds with them. And so that was a slightly different situation. Yeah, but as, I don't know if you know Jacqueline, but I don't counsel anymore. So that's something I was guided to let go of. But yeah, that was different.
So say, for example, one of us, we're not really counselors, but somebody came asking you, what do you think? You know, tell me the truth. Is that kind of the same thing
I would say that you, to be honest, if someone comes to you and says, what do you think? Tell me the truth. I would still check with them, because just because someone is telling you they want to know doesn't actually mean they do. So I would follow your inner guidance. I would check within, check with your intuition. And if you're receiving a prompt, you know, this person really wants help looking at this, then go ahead. But if you're receiving a prompt that, you know, this person doesn't actually want to see yet, then I would trust that just as much. So the real trick about following guidance is not to make decisions in advance about how you're going to respond to a particular situation. If I was to sit here and say the rule is, you know, you don't correct, or the rule is if they ask you, then you do, well, then what happens when the situation comes up is you might not check in for guidance. You just remember the rule. So for me, the best rule is that there are no rules. And if there are no rules, then you have to check for guidance always. Because the truth is, you don't know what to do. So the best rule is that there are no rules. I always tell people, I only have two rules. That's one of them. The best rule is that there are no rules. But the other rule is, if I'm upset about anything, it's because I'm looking through my ego right now. It doesn't matter what it is. Those are my only two rules. So there are no rules except for that one. If I'm upset about anything, I'm looking through my ego.
Is that a rule? Or
that's a rule. There's not a single exception to that. It doesn't matter if you murder my daughter, and you know this. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter what you do. If I'm upset, it's because of my ego. So that is a rule, because there's just not an exception. Yeah.
When you find yourself that you're upset, and you look and you say, just admit you're upset, and I'm just trying to see how to move out of it. What would come next? Accepting that you are upset, and then what?
Yes. Well, one little cheat sheet that Holy Spirit gave me about what to do when you're upset is it's the word RAT, R-A-T, RAT, and it stands for rest, accept, and trust. You rest the mind. You don't go on with the story. So if Tom said something that you perceived as insulting, you know, you don't go on and on and on in your head about what Tom said and how dare Tom say that. Tom could, you know, you just, every time you notice the story starting to cook, you just kind of rest the story. Like, you know, I'm not really interested in the story. But you accept how you feel. Because another one of our greatest weaknesses is that we as humans try to repress and deny our feelings. And a feeling never heals through repression and denial. So you accept the feeling, and you allow the feeling to be until the feeling naturally dies its own death. And this is probably where a lot of people have trouble, because it's just a natural human tendency to want to hurry up and get out of this feeling. You know, so people even use spiritual practices to hurry up and get out of the feeling. Like, people will go meditate and try to meditate back to feeling good. But that's actually just another form of repression. So you accept how you feel. You rest into it, if you can imagine that. You rest into it. Now, that's not the same as following it. You know, so if I'm, you know, mad at Dave, I sit back and I accept that I'm mad at Dave, but I don't call Dave up and tell him what a jerk he is, right?
How about that one time?
So I sit back and I accept, okay? So I rest the story, I accept how I feel, and then you trust that this is healing, that you're healing now. Rest, accept, and trust. And it works miracles. Yeah. It works miracles. But again, the trick is not to keep listening to the story, not to spin it over and over, not to try and get out of the feeling, and then the trust part, just trusting that this is healing. And if there's anything you need to see about your own ego, it will show up. You don't have to go on a witch hunt either, right? You just, you know, be willing to see what you need to see, and it will appear. When you're resting, accepting, and trusting, you're in that. It's a passive position, but yet I find that sometimes you have to be quite active at remaining that passive, if that makes any sense. Like, it takes work to stay in that rest position. But if you just stay back in that rest position with willingness to see anything in your own mind you need to see, it will just pop up. You don't have to go on an analysis witch hunt looking for it. Okay, so the very first paragraph under verses 14 to 30, again, was just a reminder not to be tempted to look away from yourself at someone else. Always stay with you. Your healing is your job, right? Their healing is their job. Okay, so the paragraph at the bottom of the page, this is a course that looks inside the mind and inside the heart by examining symbols that seem to be outside. By looking through the mirror of your mind, we will discover the beliefs you hold on to there. We will look at your beliefs together and examine honestly what they say to you. Then you can decide if you want to listen to them or not. So that's an interesting thing about Holy Spirit and NTI, is he never tells you, don't keep that belief. He'll point it out to you. He'll show you how it's affecting you, but it's up to you whether you want to keep it or not, you know, because you are the free son of God. So if you're like, no, I want to hold on to this a little longer, then you just hold on to it a little longer until you decide that you are done with that, that you're finished suffering in that way and you don't need this anymore. Jesus came out of the desert a teacher, but the one who taught him was the Holy Spirit. This is the same one that teaches you now, so that no time has elapsed since Jesus seemed to teach until the time that I am teaching you now. And so, it is as true of you now as it was true of him then. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And for those of you who don't know, this is the very first thing that Jesus ever spoke as a teacher. He went to a synagogue or a temple, I don't know the difference, and he stood in front and he unrolled the Torah and he read this, and they perceived it to be absolute blasphemy that he was saying this, because he said this scripture today is fulfilled in your hearing, and they were outraged. But it says here, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Forget not the purpose of this course. It is a course of looking within. This is the message of this scripture. This is the anointment you have accepted. Be grateful to yourself. This is the acceptance of peace. So what this is saying is that when you say, because we can all say this, so when you say, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, that means preaching good news to yourself. That means listening to Holy Spirit in your own mind instead of ego in your own mind, right? He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Again, you are the missionary within yourself. That's really what this is saying. Because he wouldn't tell us on one page, you know, not to be watching our brothers, and then on the next page say, now go out and preach to them. Right? He's really asking us to watch ourselves, you know, because it depends on how you look at it. You could say you're joining forces with the Holy Spirit in partnership if you want to, but the ultimate truth is you and the Holy Spirit, there's no difference. But in the beginning, if you perceive a difference, then it may feel like you're joining with the Holy Spirit. You're joining forces to teach within yourself. And so what you are going to do is you're going to echo whatever Holy Spirit teaches you. If Holy Spirit, you know, teaches you rest, accept, and trust, then every time you start feeling yourself getting upset, you're going to say, okay, I'm going to rest, accept, and trust. You know, you're echoing your own inner teachings. So you're teaching yourself whatever Holy Spirit taught you. You are following Holy Spirit's example within you. That's how it seems to start. At least that's how it started with me. At some point, there's just no way to tell a difference anymore. This merging has occurred. And the truth is, there never was a difference. It's all a matter of what we were identified with, right? So you're the missionary, and the foreign land is yourself. You're going there to convert yourself. Okay, starting at sentence 19. And yet, even as your gratitude is being expressed, you will not have to look far to find doubt within your mind. There is doubt that the words I share could be for you. There is doubt that healing can occur. There is doubt that I am reality. There is doubt, angry and fearful doubt, within you. Do not deny the doubt that you see. It is not to be denied. It is the part of the mind that rejects the healing that is offered to it. It will seem to resist the healing and to try to cast it away. But do not fear. In spite of its struggle and raucous noise, healing cannot be rejected. Through your willingness to be healed, healing will walk through the mob in your mind, passing it by in gentleness, leaving it in peace to quiet on its own. This is the way we walk together. It is the way of peace and great joy. And this is a place where, again, in Jesus' early teaching, he went and was teaching, and there was a mob that was very upset at his teaching. You know, he was blasphemous as far as they were concerned. And so they started shouting at them, and you may have even got the feeling that this would have been like a lynch mob. But miraculously, Jesus was able to just kind of walk through them and walk away. You know, nobody physically attacked him. So it's saying that mob represents the resistance in your mind. And it is saying you will experience resistance. You will experience great resistance. You, obviously, you know, probably we've all felt it already. You will have thoughts that say there's no way you're ever going to heal, you loser, you, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody else is going to wake up, but not you, you loser, you. It's saying this is all there. This is in everybody's mind. So when you see it, don't worry about it. That's really what it's saying. Don't worry about it. You're not seeing or hearing anything that every single person who's ever walked the path of awakening hasn't seen or heard. So just know that this is a normal part of the process. In fact, what I learned to do is when resistance was really rising up, I learned to actually feel a little happiness right here that kind of said I must be getting somewhere because resistance is getting very loud, right? It's getting scared. So I learned you could still feel the resistance, but to, at the same time, to not be upset about it, to be actually happy about it, to know that a breakthrough must be coming if resistance is getting this loud. And this is basically what he's saying. He's saying, don't worry about resistance. It's going to happen, but that doesn't mean it's going to hold you back. So when you see it, just kind of be as relaxed about it as you can be. And I think that's it for tonight. We'll stop there. Well, we have to have time for our discussion, unless you want to sit and listen to me talk for an hour. My commitment to you is that I don't do all the talking. So we're not done, but we're gonna go into our silence, and what we do in the silence is contemplate. You can again read it again. You can take notes. You can just sit and be still. But you just want to contemplate what we just went over, which really, just kind of as a review, what we went over is the fact that there is no specialness, and what that means is you're exactly the same as Jesus, okay? Or Buddha, and anybody else that you may have had on a pedestal, right? Muji, I don't care who, Ramana. The next thing that we went over was the reminder that this is a course for you looking within you, you are not your brother's gatekeeper. Right, that their healing is up to them. You're completely here to heal yourself, and that you have been anointed to heal yourself. And as one who has been anointed to heal yourself, you're going to join in partnership with Holy Spirit to teach yourself. You're going to be echoing Holy Spirit's teachings within you when you need them. And then again, resistance is going to show up, great resistance, but that's not anything to be worried about at all. You know, so just rest, accept, and trust into that, because resistance comes and resistance goes, and you're going to heal. Period. Right? Period. So I'm going to turn off the recorder, and we will just go into a little bit of silence, and then we'll open it up for discussion.